How has been your week? How has been September 2019? Alright, glory. Praise the Lord. Alright, the technology of rewards, part 2. The technology of rewards. We started this series last Sunday. Let's see how far we can go today. The technology of rewards. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16. Jeremiah 31, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16. He said, "Thus says the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hardship. What is hardship? Hardship is when you have to work hard for everything you get. Do you understand me? Hardship is what? When you have to work hard for everything you get. Hallelujah. You finish secondary school. Before you gain admission to university, it was work. You have to sit at home. You go to school. Hallelujah. To feed became a problem. It is work. To get job, it is work. Everyone must still work hard for everything. You wear yourself out looking for things. Every time you attempt to do something, you must try it like 4 times. That's hardship. Your energy is too small to take you from where you are to where you needed to be. You need help. You know what? You need help. I need help. It is only a proud man that says he doesn't need help of anybody. And you know what? You will not go far in life if you don't have help. You need help. You need assistance. And that's why we are looking at the technology of reward. Now you have sown seed. You have labored. And yet it is not sowing. You don't have effort that is commensurate. You don't have effort that is commensurate to the labor you are putting in. Something is wrong. You are not enjoying reward. Life is all about is a reward system. It's a reward system. So if you don't understand the technology that comes with reward, you will labor and work hard. May your life not be hard. Praise the Lord. So we are looking at the technology of reward. It says, well, how does reward come to us? If you don't understand the technology, what did we define technology as? What's technology? Praise the Lord. Eh? Is what? It's an organization of knowledge for practical purpose. That's technology. Organization of knowledge for practical purpose. How far you go in life depends on how much you engage wisdom to travel the path of life. If you don't know how to do it and what to do per time, you will have issues. Do we understand that? So how does the world come? How can we step into the zone where the world starts coming to us? And last week we began looking at it. And we picked one out of the many technologies. We picked one technology. And what was that? We said the technology of what? Of man. Man is a living, working entity. It's the most sophisticated technology that God gave birth to. Isn't it? Have you ever, did Jesus Christ, did he come to the world to die for goats? Huh? Did he come to die for a cow? He came to die for human being. Many animals have gone into extinction from creation. Man has refused to go into extinction. Last week. How many points did that give you? How many? Eight? Is it eight? What was the last one? Men are validators. Men are what? Validators. One of the things inside man is the ability and the grace and the anointing to validate another man. There are people that have gone ahead of you. Now, are you not surprised? You know, I was watching an advert. I saw, what's his name? Messi and Saleh of Liverpool. They were doing adverts for Pepsi. You should know that Messi doesn't drink Pepsi. Do you understand? And that is Saleh drink Pepsi. But these are the people that will do adverts for you. Don't you watch advert of Glow? Don't you see the advert of Airtel? What do you think they are trying to achieve by bringing all those comedians together for advert? What do you think they are doing? Endorsement. So they want to blindfold you and make you think that Pepsi. So every time you carry a bottle of Pepsi, you think it is what Messi drinks, that he knows how to play football. Even if Messi, you know, when you sit down, you are proud. When you put a bottle of Pepsi, how much is a bottle of Pepsi? You put a bottle of Pepsi, you know you are proud. Why? Because Messi drinks it. You are in the class of Messi automatically. What do you think they are talking about? Endorsement. It is endorsement. They want to fool you, to let you feel that, look, all these great people, this is what they do that made them great. You run. But what are you trying to achieve? Endorsement. Another man can endorse another man. Men that have gone ahead of you, may you have a voice that have gone ahead that will speak on your behalf. Ah, when they are plotting against you, that you are not there, that you know nothing about, may there be a voice that will stand up and say, no, give it to him. Amen. Do you understand that prayer? May you enjoy the endorsement of life. Benihin. I was telling you about Benihin. I shared a testimony about Benihin last week. I was telling you another testimony about him, very funny. You know, Benihin runs his ministry. And in his ministry, per month, it's either per month or per week, they spend about $10 million. Yeah, per week. Because of their TV rights and all that. So, because of the programs, you know, they run programs almost every day. Sometimes 3-4 times on different TV channels all over the world. And he goes for all this, his evangelistic work and all that. So there was a time he was in debt. He needed $10 million. And you know, abroad is not like Nigeria. You know, he needed $10 million in 48 hours. If not, they will declare his ministry bankrupt. What man? They will declare his ministry bankrupt. So he will no longer be able to preach on TV. He will be limited to preaching in his bedroom. So he needed $10 million to settle all manner of debts and all that. He started running his TV program. He started running his TV program and he was begging people, you know, do you watch some of those evangelists on TV? All these tele-evangelists. He said, God, if God is laying it to your heart to give this, to do this, you know, because those things are money. Serious cash. And he had this problem. 48 hours. Where will he get it from? He's in serious danger. Then he brought Ora Robots to his program on TV. As a matter of fact, Ora Robots promised him that he was coming. But Ora Robots had a delay. So it was 5 minutes. It was a live program. It was 5 minutes to the end of the program when Ora Robots walked into the studio. By the time Ora Robots settled down, I'm sure you know the late Ora Robots, but before he settled down, finally, the program, it was 3 minutes to the end of the program. And they brought Ora Robots up. And Ora Robots, you know America respects Ora Robots a lot. And Ora Robots just announced, that program, he didn't say anything, he didn't preach. But a robot said, Benny is in trouble. Help him. He said, Benny is in trouble. Help him. And they pray. And rounded up the program. And under 6 hours, he had $15 million. What happened? Endorsement of a man. A voice that is stronger than his voice. A voice that has gone ahead of him, speaking on his behalf. When the Bible says Jesus Christ is our advocate in heaven, what do you think he's doing in heaven? He's endorsing us. God, this thing that this guy is asking for, give it to him. As it is in the realm of the spirit, so it is in the realm of the physical. So when you don't know that these are things that are loaded inside human being, you will be shocked. Your journey will be slow. There are men, all they needed to do is just say, employ him. That's all. All they need to do is to say what? Employ him. That's all. When they had traveled all the way to Kebbi. And I don't know anybody in Kebbi.
So I went to Kebbi. But somebody gave me a note on his almost torn card. He said, when I get to Kebbi, I should look for so person and give it to him. And I left all the way from Mina. I went to Kebbi State. And I got to Kebbi. Finally, I met the man. Now I'm in trouble. Because, you know, in Far North, you know, Hausa is like the lingua franca. Abi, they don't even care what your face looks like. As long as you're in their land, they speak Hausa to you. And you know, as I met the man, I greeted the man. The man started speaking Hausa. I said, I don't understand Hausa. But I said, you can't speak Hausa. I said, how long have you spent in Mina? I covered my face. Hallelujah. And the man said, okay, no problem. And we began to talk. And the man said, okay, and I was told that you were coming. Where is your card? Where is the card? He said he gave you a note, and I collected it. And the man just wrote there, it's from me. Do you understand? The man just wrote at the back that it is what? It is from me. That's endorsement. And the man just gave me the contract. Just like that. He just gave me the contract. And if I tell you who the man is, you'll be shocked. Hallelujah. You know, and the man said, I just like you. I just like you. He said, I want you to. He said, when are you going back to me now? And I told him, so time. He said, okay, before you get to me now, the money is in your account. This. He said, okay, I want you to know my hometown. Huh. Yeah? I said, your hometown? He said, yes. He said, I just like you. Just like that. And the man said, I said, okay, no problem. He said, so I'll just take you to my hometown. Then from my hometown, you can get a vehicle that is going to me now. And he took me to his hometown. How did I get to that soon? How did I get there? Just a word from another man, another human being. And today we got to his hometown. And in the evening we were strolling. And he said, let me take you to the house of my friend. And we went to the house of his friend. And his friend happened to be Lieutenant General Bameyi, then serving. You know the two Bameyis? The elder one and the other one. You know those generals? And their own neighbor, his house is sandwiched between their own houses. He said, they're my friends. We grew up together. You know that type? These are the men you see on TV and you look at, what? You know those kind of houses that you enter into, that you're afraid to step on the rug? It looks as if you're going to sink. May man that has voice endorse you. Yeah. Number next. What is a man? What does man carry? What are the things that God has deposited in man that can give you your own reward? That's what we are looking at. Number next. I call it access to material and financial resources. Access to material and what? Financial resources. You need money? I was asking you last week, right? The question is, where is money that the money that you need? It's in another man's hand. Every money you need, every resource that you need is not hanging in space. It is in another man's account. Isn't it? All the money that you need is with another person. It's in their hands. They keep it. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, there is nothing like bank. Abi, because if they close down bank, if they say bank is no longer existing, what will happen? Money will come back to every man. Because it is every man that puts money there that makes bank bank. It's all about man. The money you are looking for, the finances you are looking for, the resources you are looking for is where? Is in another man's hands. That's all. So you just need to understand and acknowledge it to know. Now let me show you this scripture. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 10. He said, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as this which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. I was reading a Bible commentary, and that Bible commentary said, what Queen Sheba gave to King Solomon is 2 days long. Do you know the analysis? You understand? It's how many days? 2 days long. The caravan that she brought to King Solomon, you understand? It took 2 days to offload. 2 days to offload. And it is shocking you to know that the Queen Sheba that we are talking about was from Abeokuta. I'm sure you know that the sepulchre, that's where she was buried, is still in Abeokuta till date. Are you listening to me?
Where did they get those kind of wealth from? How do you think Solomon became wealthy? God pronounced it, but how did it began to happen physically? Men started giving to him. They were bringing, look at what she brought to King Solomon. All the finances that you need is with somebody. God has told you severally, it will be fake money if God decides to rain money from heaven for you. It will be fake. Because they don't have CPN in heaven. They don't. They don't have printing machine in heaven. You understand? So if they do it, it will not carry the logo of Nigeria. And God will not do anything that is fake. God will just, God knows the money you need is on apps. Whether you need it in dollars, whether you need it in pounds, whether you need it in euro, is with somebody. So he has already dropped it. All it will take. You know, many a times I used to think, all these are governments. Why is it, have you ever asked yourself that question? That every time they will say Nigeria is broke, Nigeria doesn't have money. Is it not for them to just print? Have you talked like that? Is it not for them to just go to printing and minting? And just print money and give to everybody. Why are they not doing that? There is a regulated amount of currency that has to be in circulation per time. If not, the country will become bankrupt. Do you understand? So all the monies that is needed is already available. So, but situations, things need to just arrange for it to move from that account to your own account. And that's what we are dealing with. Hallelujah. So another thing that is resident inside man, that should be number 8 or 9 now, that is access to material and financial resources. Alright, let me show you one more. Another thing that God has kept inside man is what I call divine impartation and the prophetic. That's another thing God has kept inside man. Impartations and the prophetic. Impartation and prophetic. Impartation and prophetic. What is impartation? Let me give you a quick definition. Impartation is the transference of grace for possibilities from one man to another. The transfer or the transference of grace for possibility from one man to another. Transfer of possibilities from one man to another. That's impartation. Grace that he has enjoyed. All these graces God has kept them inside human beings. Hallelujah. I needed to go somewhere to attend a very serious interview somewhere. So I spoke to my father in the Lord. He said he has done it, that there is no problem. He said, okay, there is no problem. When you are going, just call me. I'll pray for you. And he called me, and I prayed for him. I called him, and he prayed for me. He prayed for me seriously. Hallelujah. And so when I went there, everything became very easy. The people I met there, the way they attended to me, was as if they attended to a president of a country. And so when I got back, I called him. I said, these are what happened. He said, there is a grace, a special favor that he has enjoyed in life over the last 20 years. He said, that was what he gave to me. He said, so it's not a surprise. He said, from today, anywhere you step to, men will stand up for you. Amen. Oh God. Can you imagine? Men carry it. I was listening to a man of God. He said he did something for an elderly woman. He just helped the woman. I said, the woman said, come, my son, let me pray for you. And he said, okay, no problem. And the woman prayed a prayer for him. Now listen to the content of the prayer. He said, my son, from today, you will forever walk on gold. He said, that's a strange prayer. That's a strange prayer. He said, from that day, as people are giving him houses, are you following me now? They are giving him cash. May your life not be hard, though. Amen. He said, the woman said, from today, you will forever walk on gold. Oh, buddy, that's all. There are people that have what we call a kingmaker anointing. They may not look like it. They may not resemble kings in our presence. They may look ordinary, but there is something in them that can enthrone you. Samuel does not look like a king. He was never a king. He was a prophet. But he installed Saul as king. When Saul messed up, he removed Saul and installed David. He himself was not the king. It's a kingmaker's anointing. It's a grace that God has kept inside man. It's divinity and impartation that he packaged and kept inside another human being. Hallelujah. You need to understand how this thing will flow to you. And that's what we're going to be looking at now. Hallelujah. So these are the things. Some of the things, let me stop there, that God himself has packaged inside another human being for another human being. You remember we started from Ephesians chapter 4 last week. You remember? That he gave men as gifts to men. Hallelujah. So these are gifts that God has deposited inside every man. So every man have his or our own. Are you following me now? Now, the question is this. How will this gift come to you as a reward? And that's where we need to do serious work. How will it come to you? Now, you know all these things are inside another human being. You know all these impartations and all these graces are inside another human being. But how will it get to you? That's the question. It's an impartation. Impartation is not what you see physically. You know, I see so many things in my life that are happening. You understand? And I know that it's a flow from my spiritual father. There are things that he has enjoyed that I'm enjoying. I know how I got it. I know my source. I understand it. I know how it flowed to me. Are you following me now? But the question is, so how does all these things get to you? How do you get it from another man as a reward? So that it comes to you. Number one. I have about seven things. Let me try and deal with one for you today. How do I annex rewards to men? Number one, the law of honor and respect. That's number one. I call it what? The law of honor and respect. The law of honor and respect. Hebrews chapter 7. I'll read verse 4 and verse 6 and 7. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1. Now look at this scripture. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 1 first. 7:1. It says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the most high God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. Now look at verse 4. The Bible says something about Melchizedek. He said, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Now go to verse 6. It says, but he chose, he whose descendants is not counted for them, received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. Now look at verse 7. He said, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Without any controversy, whatever you need is in the hand of somebody. Anything you lack in your life makes you lower than somebody, but that person has the ability to transfer it to you. Are you following me now? So how do we transfer it? Number one is what I said, what? Honor. What is honor? Honor is what? Respect and admiration. Showing respect and admiration. The law of honor states that everything you dishonor will diminish, and everything you honor will magnify. Everything you dishonor will diminish, and whatever you honor will be magnified. Every failure of a man is traceable to a dishonor somewhere. Honor is respect and what? Admiration. Esteeming people, dignifying human beings, lifting them high, respecting them, showing them honor. When you honor a man or you honor a woman, naturally, their heart, no matter how hard, softens towards you, and they feel like giving you that which they carry. It's honor. Many people have violated the law of honor somewhere, and that is why most of the time, they have closed doors that are supposed to easily open for them. That's it. I heard the story of a young man
He does God's work as a manager of a company. And you know, at the tender age of around 26, they employ him as a manager of a multinational company. Multinational company. And you know, he was so arrogant and so pompous. You know, he orders people around, people that can give back to him. You know, very young boy. But because he was so brilliant, he was a Harvard graduate. So they employed him. So one day, he wanted to enter the lift to his office early in the morning. So you know, as he was about to step into the lift, his CEO, that's the overall owner of the company, also stepped inside the same lift with him. And when they entered inside the lift, the man that controls the lift was inside the lift. And the man that was controlling the lift stood up and he hugged the CEO. They hugged. They embraced each other. And they began to talk about the family of the man. And the man asked after his health and all that. And so they stepped outside the lift. And immediately they got out of the lift. He went to his CEO. He said, "Sir, you are so high. You are hugging that kind of a person." And the CEO looked at him. The CEO said, "Do you know how I got here?" He said, "No." He said, "I have honored from the first day that I got job in this organization. I have honored everybody I met, and that's why I became CEO." You know, he cannot just see how he should hug and greet an elevator operator. Can you imagine? You may never know. But you know what? That elevator operator was a former CEO of that same organization that has retired. He owns the organization. Are you following me? He owns the organization. But after he retired, he just felt he shouldn't just sit down at home. He has trained boys. Everybody there is the owner. He has 60% share of the multinational company. Are you following me? So he just felt he should just be operating the elevator. Just while away time, he's rich, wealthy, he has limos. So the current CEO, they became friends, they've been friends. And he embraces him, he greets him. But look at the young man that was just employed. Common elevator operator. Okay now. Hallelujah. Who have you dishonored? Where are you dishonoring people? You know, many of the people that can put a voice for you in high places, you have abused them on the way. You have fought them. You have bastardized them. You have slapped them. And they kept quiet. And they are looking at you and waiting for you. The young man didn't know. He never knew. There is no man that is common anywhere. Are you following me? Inside every man is a deposit of heaven. The Bible says he gave unto men gifts. That's what he gave unto men. He deposited gifts on our inside. So when you know how to tap into those gifts, it flows to you. So honor is respect. Admiration. So how do I get honor from men? Number one. How do I get honor from men? Number one is what I call wisdom. What? Wisdom. 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 You should know who to shake and who to prostrate for. It is common up. You know who to what? Who to shake and who to do what? Who to prostrate for. That's where honor starts. Are you hearing me? Who should know? That is wisdom. You remember Queen Vashti in the book of Esther chapter 1. You remember her? You know, many times we just talk about Esther. We need to start from somewhere else. The story didn't start from Esther. The story started from Vashti. Vashti was the queen. And the king sent for her to come. And she said, no. The king said, "Come and show your beauty. Let my wife come and greet the men that came to greet me." You understand? And the queen said, "No, I'm too beautiful. I don't just show up anyhow." He said, "Do you know how much it costs me to put on all this makeup? If you know how much my foundation alone costs, you will fear." And she refused to show up. That's a foolish woman. You know what she lacked? Wisdom. She didn't know that she was queen because she married a king. Do you understand? She didn't know that she was what? A queen because she married a king. That's what gave her that title. And she dishonored the throne. And after dishonoring the throne, the king said, okay, no problem, I will forgive her, there is no problem. But the men that came, they said, sir, this woman has dishonored this throne. He said, sir, if you leave her like that, she will begin to dishonor, other women will begin to dishonor us in this kingdom. But you must prove that you are the king. Remove her. That's all. That day, she ceased to be queen. And that was what led to the story of Esther. That was how Esther got there. That's a wise woman. And look at the wisdom of Esther. You know, when they wanted to destroy Esther and the Jews, you remember that story? You know that the person that was in charge was Haman. Anything Haman says, the king does. How do you deal with the friend of the king, the best friend of the king? Look at the plot. I went to the king. I said, my lord, I want you to come to my chamber with your entourage. And I want you to be able to come. And to come and have a good meal. Your best meal. And the king was so proud. You know, everywhere you go to and they honor you, you always want to return there. Do you understand? Honor is a seed. When you sow it, as you keep traveling in life, you keep reaping it. And look at what happened. And they went. The king went with Haman and the friends. And they went to Esther's place. Look at, if you read that scripture, one day I'll preach to you from there. The Bible says, and when she has given them a very sumptuous meal, and they have drank wine, she now knelt down on her two knees before the king and all the honorable men that came. She knelt down and said, oh king, live forever. He said, there is a decree and order in your kingdom to destroy myself and my entire lineage. The king said, what? Which decree? Who made that kind of a law? And he said, my king, may you live forever. It is Haman, your assistant. Hey! Now, she said it in the presence of everybody on her two knees, bowing before the king. Now she has hanged the king in the corner. The king couldn't say anything. The king said, excuse me. And the king went to the garden. Ha! Haman! You want to keep my wife? And you know what happened? The gallows that Haman prepared to hang Mordecai, they hang him on the same gallows. Why? Somebody knows how to use honor to shift things in the realm of the spirit. You can shift death by honor. You can. There is nothing you want on earth that honor cannot give to you. But you need wisdom to apply it. One thing you must know, men are not the same in your life. Men are not the same in your hands. Men are not the same. They're not the same. You know, one day, I think that was it on Wednesday or so? Or Thursday? I think it was Tuesday. Monday. Last Monday. You know, we had a discussion. My wife, we needed to discuss with somebody. And then we met them. We met him at Mr. Biggs. And as we were there in Mr. Biggs, my father in the Lord just called. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in the middle of a meeting. He said, where? I said, that's Mr. Biggs. He said, well, how long is it going to take you? I said, very soon. We're about rounding up. He said, buy me meat pie. Buy me five alive. He said, that one that used to have that looks like orange, that used to have this seat inside. He said, buy it and bring it for me. I said, where? He said, I'm in the church office. I'm in the church. I'm waiting for you. You know, when I got there, everybody were prostrating for me. You know why? My father told them, he said, his pastor, he will be here soon. Wait, just watch. He said, his other sons that I call. He said, I know who to call, sir. He said, I even know who to call. Can you imagine? And you know, everybody were looking at me in amazement. Is it that I'm stupid? I'm not stupid. And he prayed for me. Simple prayer, but has gone very far. You need to know how to get these things. I'm teaching you. It is wisdom that gives you
the ability to know that men are not the same in your life. Even God does not reward men equally. Are you following me? He doesn't. Men are not the same in your hands. You must know when you cite a man, you must know how to give appropriate honor to that man, so that what he carries can flow to you without stress. There are men that God has given these things, and you need to know it. Number two, it's what I call forbearance. I'll stop here. It's what I call forbearance. Forbearance. What is forbearance? Ability to endure. Every man of honor, every great man, every great woman, everyone that carries greatness on their inside, you understand? They are still men. Can they make mistakes? Yes. Do they have weaknesses? Yes. But for you to get what they carry, it takes what? Forbearance. Isn't it? You must be patient with their weaknesses. You must be patient because of what you yourself want. Know what you want and be patient to get it. They say line up, line up. They say wait, wait. Elisha went to enroll in the school of prophets. And immediately he went to enroll. Elijah said, I won't enroll you as one of the prophets. I will enroll you as my servant. Ha. Servant? He said, yes. You are enrolled as a servant. So that's why the Bible says, he started pouring water to wash hands every time Elijah finished eating. Prophets. He went to the school of prophets too. But he started washing the hand of the man of God. And Bible history told us that he did this for at least 20 years. Now, Elijah has how many prophets? How many sons of prophets? 151. Or 150, if we exclude Elisha. Now, out of every one of the sons of prophets, who got the double honor? Who got the double anointing? Huh? Who? Why? He endured for 20 solid years. That was a smart man. And up till now, look at Bible history. All through 2 Kings, how did they refer to Elisha? They did never refer to him as who? As a prophet of God. They said Elisha. Abi, the son of Shaphat, who pours water on the hands of Elijah. Can you imagine? That's the way they were referring to him. But how many miracles did he perform? Twice every miracle that Elijah performed. Honor. Honor. Forbearance. Alright. Next. It's what I call celebrating the grace that is in the life of that person of honor. To celebrate the grace that is in their life. You celebrate the grace. You celebrate them. Greet them. Send them text message. I'm not saying you should worship anybody. But you know, these are technicalities that brings what is in their life to you cheaply. There are men in your life that you don't forget their birthday. You dare not. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You dare not. It's honor. You know, when my brother in the Lord is celebrating his birthday, like the last one, best bake cake. Oh, best knows how to bake cake now. So, in case you want to bake cake very well, please just consult him. Exceptional cakes. Best, that's endorsement. So, for every cake you make, something must come to me. Because I've endorsed him now. You can eat his cake. You are free. Hallelujah. He baked cake. Early in the morning, we took it to his house. Myself, my wife, we went there to give him as a gift. Ah, and he said we should kneel down. You know, a popular man of God in this town, in this nation, don't let me mention his name. One of his sons built an estate in Abuja and told the man that the man should come and dedicate the estate for him. So the man of God, if I mention his name, you all know him. He left Lagos. And by air, they went to pick him with private jets.
And they brought him to Abuja to come and dedicate the estate. And he dedicated the estate. Very massive estate in Abuja. He dedicated it, blessed it, did everything. Completed. And after he completed everything, and the man of the son gave him the key. And he collected the key. He said, "Sir," he said, "Daddy," he said, "Yes." He said, "This is the key to the estate. I actually built it for you. You build it for me?" He said, "Yes." The man quickly knelt down and just bowed. He knelt down before him so that he would pray for them. He said, "I can't pray for you today." He said, "If I pray for you now, I will curse you. Let me return to Lagos." 7 days time. I'm fasting for 7 days. I won't taste water. I won't taste food. I am coming in 7 days to come and pray for you. I'm telling you. He said, "Don't let me pray." Oh, and he left. And the man fasted and went to the mountain for 7 days. And on the seventh day, he returned. And he told him, he said, "Whatever you require on this planet will be given to you cheaply." And he went back. "How? 7 days? You are now coming to just tell me that. Whatever I require." And the man said, "Since that day," he said, "I can call at least 15 head of states of this planet by their first name. They have all become my friend." Do you know the meaning of that? You can call 15 head of states on this planet by their first name, including Donald Trump. Said, "Don, I want to come and see you." How did they get there? Unknown. I'm showing you a revelation. When you key into these things, your life becomes easy. Don't run your life on the end of your own energy alone. So genuinely celebrate men. Celebrate them. Appreciate them. What they carry will flow to you. You're a woman. You're not yet married. So this is somebody with a baby. You understand? And the baby is crying. This one is doing this. And the woman is trying to carry food. She's trying to. And you don't say, "Hey, sorry, oh, it is well." And you pass. You are in trouble. That is honor. Come back. Say, "Madam, what can I help you with? What can I?" And this is you. You are praying for. You are praying to have a married. To have a husband. And have a good home. And you just walk past that woman. You say, "Yeah, it is well, no. Ah, children, sir. Ah." And you walk past, you are a foolish woman. Practical Christianity this morning, right? You go there. With what can I help you with? Say, okay, help me with the pamper. Say, "Hey. Do you know what? You are contacting a grace. Even if there is barrenness in your life, that act destroys it. That you will not carry your own baby is a lie. You will carry it." My father and the Lord bought a particular type of car one time like that. And it's a car, I really admire the car. My wife loves the car. So I promised myself that I would buy that car for her. So my father and the Lord just bought the car. And he just called me and said, "I should come and see something." I just went to his house. I just saw the car. Hey! He said, "Daddy." He said, "It's a gift." Ah! I said, "Okay." He said, "This is the key." I said, "Daddy, I'm coming." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm coming." I went to fill the tank. I was filling the tank. I was capacity the spirit. La Keregero Santaria. Ah, this car. I contact grace. I will buy my own. I will buy it for my wife. Hallelujah. I filled the tank. You understand? But I could as well have said, "All these men of God says, now wow. I don't, only God knows what they do, self. Is it not prayer I said we should pray? Is it not the same prayer we are praying?" You know, that's where you think. That's why things are withheld from you. That's the truth. I would have been angry. I'd be mad. Say, "Now wow. Now wow. Oh God." Say, "It's fine. Eh? It's fine." Honestly, sir, "Daddy, I'm even planning. I want to buy for my wife. I'm looking for trouble now." These are the reasons why some doors are shut against men. And they are running from pillar to post, mountain to mountain. And nothing seems to be working. Because you are destroying the foundation of the prayer you have just prayed on the mountain by the principle of dishonor. You need to know. Sincerely, genuinely celebrate people. "Ah, this man dressed very well." Say, "Now, wow.
all his body, his clothes. Can you imagine? Dishonor. See, a flashy car just passed. He said, all these people are thieves. In this economy, can you imagine people are still buying cars? And you are developing high blood pressure. Hey, you don't know the man. You only saw the car. You have dishonored the car. And anything you dishonor cannot flow to you. Practically. One more. Love and appreciate men. Love them sincerely. If somebody has something that you love, that you covet, love. Love it sincerely. Genuinely appreciate it and pray for the person. Job, it came to a time in the life of Job, he became broke. You remember? Can you give me Job chapter 42? That should be verse 10. Job chapter 42, verse 10. You remember Job? A time came in the life of Job. He was very, very broke. Very, very broke. And he had a lot of issues in his life. And every other person that Job has helped have become great in life. But Job didn't take it out on them. Wow. One day I will preach the life of Job for you. He became so sick, the wealthiest man in the whole of the East. And they carried him inside wheelbarrow. Most of the things that Job wrote, he was writing it from the dustbin. They carried him, no longer in the house. They went to use wheelbarrow to tip him inside the dustbin. So Job was in the dustbin. He could no longer dwell among humans. So all those gist in the book of Job, by his friends, they stay afar off and they were talking to him. Nobody moved close to Job. But Job knew that these people are healthy. They have what I carry. I still love them. What do I do to get it from them? Look at what he did. The Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Why? When he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Everybody that Job helped deserted him. Everybody that he has ever helped deserted him. His wife told him, curse God and die. Curse God. There is no God anywhere again. How will he treat you like this? But Job smiled because he understood the principle of honor. Everything you appreciate and admire in people, pray for them. Pray for them. Love them sincerely. Don't be envious. That God gave it to them, he will give you your own. You understand? Just wait. Just wait. Celebrate them. You know, in the course of the week, I don't know why I'm talking so much about my father this morning. You know, very soon, at least one or two Sundays this month, we are going to close down service. We will have church there. Hallelujah. You know, because it's building, they are building the largest auditorium in the whole of North Central. Do you understand that? Huh? So we're going to worship there. No, in the course of the week, he called me. They were almost done with the roofing. And you know, he was so excited. And he was just sharing his excitement with me. This is quickly a big pen. I started writing because we are building too. I need to learn wisdom. And he started laughing. He said, you. He said, anyway, it is ministry I'm telling you. I said, in secret you are telling me, I'm writing. Look, when you're in the presence of greatness, you must appreciate it, admire it, celebrate it. Back it. When I'm going, I don't go there with shovel. I don't go there with spoon. I go there with tipper in my spirit to collect abundance of his wisdom. How did he get there? How did he achieve that feat? All the secrets are in my hand. I've kept them. So when we are building and when we are getting certain stages, you'll be shocked. This will not be happening with ease. Because I've learned the wisdom to do it. I've collected it by honor. Things I didn't share with anybody, he shared it with me. How did I get to that soon? One day I got to his house. He said, I've come upstairs. So I climbed upstairs. He was talking. I didn't know where I was talking from. He said, Pastor Adeo, you call me. I said, call me where I was. He said, okay, turn this way. That particular door, open it. I opened it because the door to his bedroom. He said, come and sit down. Hey? He said, yes, this is my bedroom. How did I get there? Honor. There is no door on earth. When honor goes ahead of you, that door will open. It doesn't matter what that door is.
It doesn't matter what they will deny others. When honor goes ahead of you, that door, it doesn't matter. They say, it doesn't open it for any man. It's a lie. It's because honor has not gone ahead. When it goes ahead, he opens that door. Have you learned something this morning? Have you learned something this morning? Have you learned something this morning? I've told you I'm a practical preacher. That's practical wisdom. Live by it. Run your life by it. And the Lord will help you and strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise.